Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a podcast that's rising like a bad moon. I'm your host, Pete Pollack. This week on the show, we're looking at It Happened One Night, a 1934 Frank Capra comedy, in black and white, of course, as they all are. And this one stars Clark Gable and Claudette Colbert, or is it Colbert? Something like that. It's Clark and Claudette. That's what we'll call them. This is the closest thing that I can describe this movie to a modern audience is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You've got two people who pretty much hate each other, trying to get somewhere and having a very difficult time of it. The circumstances are totally different from the John Candy, Steve Martin movie in almost every way, as you'll see in a minute. This movie starts off with Claudette Colbert as a spoiled rich girl who has a, and when I say rich, I mean her dad apparently owns Florida or something. And he's also extremely possessive. Now, she's a grown woman, and she's even married, and he doesn't really care. The dad has got her essentially held hostage in the beginning of the movie on his yacht off the coast of Florida. And he won't let her go. He won't let her see her husband or anything like that. And we're not really sure why. He's just out of his mind with possessiveness. Well, she gets fed up and she goes on a hunger strike. So, you know, that's normal. And overturns furniture and things like that, and eventually jumps off the boat and swims for it. And it wouldn't be much of a movie if she drowned, so she makes it to shore and escapes the clutches of her father's, assistants, laborers, workers, whatever they are, the guys who work for the dad. She escapes them and pawns her jewelry and decides to head off to New York where her husband is. And the father really clamps down. He sends out God knows how many detectives to find her. He's got people watching the bus stations and the train stations. They're searching, literally searching motel rooms, you know, motels room to room, trying to find her. And, he's mobilized everything. He's got the story is in every paper. He's got her picture on the front page of everything from, you know, the big city papers to the little tiny towns and everything else. She's basically hunted. And she teams up with, of course, Clark Gable. And Clark Gable is he's a reporter who just got fired. We're not really sure why, although he's severely drunk when he gets fired. And so not sure what the cause and effect there is. Maybe he was always drunk and that's why he got fired. In any event, he thinks he's a great reporter and he insists that he's a great reporter and he tells off his boss and he meets up with Claudette and he says, basically tells her that he'll help her get to New York in exchange for her exclusive story. So they head off and, they have a series of misadventures and the bus they're on gets wrecked and they head off through the woods and people start to recognize them and they have to come up with various loony explanations for who they are and scamming their way to get to New York. And of course, as they're doing this, they fall in love. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure why they fall in love, because I don't really think either of them is all that lovable, and I don't think that the sparks really fly between them. Now, I know Frank Capra, as a director, He's made some good movies, some brilliantly funny movies, some just fun to watch movies. Most notably to me, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I love that flick. And of course, everybody in the world pretty much has probably seen or at least heard of It's a Wonderful Life. Sparks fly in both those movies in the romantic area. They don't really work in this one for me. Clark Gable spends most of the movie yelling at her and complaining about how she's a little rich girl and can't survive in the world for 5 minutes, the real world and whatnot. And he's totally annoyed with her. When he's not annoyed with her, he's either taunting the guy who fired him via collect telegram, or he's basically just acting pompous. To be honest with you. And she, on the other hand, wavers between being a spoiled little rich girl and being fiercely independent, or freaking out whenever Clark or, you know, whoever's supposed to be keeping an eye on her isn't keeping an eye on her. So, you know, pick one. You're either independent or you're not. She's clearly not, but she thinks she is. So she gets a little annoying after a while, too. The dad, like I said, he's just kind of a nutcase, although he does soften up at the end. And then the other major character of note is her husband. Remember, she's married, even though she's falling in love with Clark Gable. And, you know, I guess that's pretty risque for the 1930s. But she's married, and her husband is annoying from the word go. And I think he's actually supposed to be, because he's one of these guys, he's an aviator and he speaks with an accent. And I'm not entirely convinced that it, you know, he may be British, or he may just be speaking with an accent in order to have an affectation, some kind of upper crust thing going on. He's got the slick back hair and the pencil thin mustache, and he carries around a cane that he clearly doesn't need. He just has to, you know, carry something around, and it's probably, you know, his choices were either a cane or a riding crop. The cane is more benign, I suppose, you know, and he's flying around in these little helicopter things and whatnot. And he's just, he's somebody who you're really not supposed to like. So you cheer for the two lovers to get together. And, you know, of course, they find a way in the end to work it out. I'm not giving that much away. It's a Frank Capra movie. It's a romantic comedy. It's not rocket science. You know that the main people are going to end up together somehow in some way. Like I said, at least the dad softens up and doesn't act like quite so much of a psychopath by the end of the movie. But overall, I really wanted to like this movie. I went into it wanting to like this movie. I really thought we might have our first buy it recommendation out of all these Oscar winners that I've been reviewing. And I think I'm doing you a disservice if I gave it anything other than a skip it, to be honest with you. It's a high skip it. It's a borderline rent it. But really, as a comedy, I didn't think it was that funny. Certainly Frank Capra's done better, and probably everybody else in the movie has too. And as a romantic movie, I've seen way better from Frank Capra. So I can't really recommend this movie. It's a time waster. It's okay, but not something you really need to seek out, in my opinion. So that's the review for this week. I'm sorry it's not what I had hoped, and maybe not what you had hoped, but now you know. Next week on the show, I'm looking at Mutiny on the Bounty. I don't know much about this movie, except that it's about a boat, and apparently a mutiny. We've all heard of it. I know it was on Family Classics here in Chicago, like, you know, 300 times when I was a kid. But I never got around to watching it. But I actually have the DVD in my possession right now, so I may even go watch it after I finish wrapping up this review. Until then, next week, have a good week. Remember, you can contact me at movies@bignoisybug.com, and I'll see you soon. I'm Pete Pollack.